Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Let's read it. One to go. We're going to read it to the end. All right? So let's keep going. Through whom also we have access by. Sorry. We're going to go back again. But I want to show you something in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by what? You are justified by faith, not by works. That's clear. To be justified by faith means that you are, the meaning of the word justified is just as if you never did wrong. So to be justified by faith is that you are justified by your faith in Christ. Let me show you something in the Bible. Whenever you see the word faith, let it be to you faith in Christ. So the word faith doesn't stand alone as an isolated word. So faith is not just faith. Faith in the Bible will mean, especially in the New Testament, it means faith in who? In Christ. And faith in Christ is talking about faith in what Christ has done. So your faith in Christ speaks of the assurance of the completeness of the work of Christ. This is Bible study now. Are you ready to go deep with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let's keep going. Therefore, having been justified by works. Therefore, having been just, this one is, having been justified by works or faith. Correct me, say by faith. We have what? Peace with God. So your peace with God is not because of what you do. God is angry with me. God is not angry with you. So you see, when you think you and God are quarreling, you are, first of all, you are not even enough to quarrel with God. So your peace with God is simply because of faith in Christ. The Bible is clear. Let's use the NLT version. I'm going to teach these things over and over because there are a lot of people who have never heard the gospel. You see, who are coming to TSP for the first time or who just joined, I'm going to show you this gospel over. And those who think they know, hear me, you think you know, you don't know. Now, therefore, since we have been, let's read it together, one to go. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Christ. Do you know, I didn't even see this translation before I said what I said, but it's agreeing. Is it agreeing? So faith in Christ is faith in what Christ has done. So that's where your faith is. So when you say you have faith is not standing isolated. You have faith means that I have faith in what somebody else did, not what I did. So can you see now that all of us are on the same pedestal? Because if we all put faith in Christ, there is no place for boasting. Are you with me, somebody? So please tell your neighbor, don't raise shoulder for me. Because it's not your faith. Sorry, let's rephrase. It's not your work. Whose work is it? Look at another and say, don't raise shoulder, don't form for me. You know, there are people who like to form over spiritual. I will come to where you should, because your spirituality is a follow-up of his work. It is not your spirituality that gives you the peace. No, it's not your spirituality that gives you the peace. It is the work of Christ that gives you the peace. Then having received that peace, it is why you are spiritual. Are you with me now? So let's keep going. This matter is very deep, because you have to believe it. If you believe it, you will never doubt when you are praying. There are some people who, before they came to church this morning, you wanted to pray. You were thinking about how you did not pray 2 weeks ago, how you didn't do what you were supposed to do. Please, pray all the time. And I'm not advocating that you don't pray. We pray. In this house, we believe in prayer. In this house, we fast though. We don't play with fasting, we fast. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13 that while they were fasting and they were ministering to the Lord. So fasting is a way of ministering to the Lord. Are you with me? But I'm telling you that that's not what gives you peace with God. No. So don't be in that place where you are afraid just because you haven't done some things right or you are not sure where God is standing with you. No, the reason why I'm sure where God stands with me is because of Christ. So anytime I look at Christ, I say, ha, Baba, thank you. Because with God, I have peace. Just because of you. You agree to die on that cross for me. That's why I have peace. Somebody say amen. Amen. So let's go now, verse 2. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing what? God's glory. Tell your neighbor, say, I will share God's glory with you. Are you happy about that? Let's keep going. Verse 3. We have a long way to go. We can rejoice too. Hey. So you see why rejoicing is a part of your salvation. If you are sad, let me explain it. If you are not happy, it means you are not looking at what you should look at. If you are not happy, you are not looking at somebody who did a work that should warrantee the happiness. Why would you be focusing on things that are temporal? You know, the things you're not happy about are things that can likely change. So why don't you put faith in God? Praise God. You see, I've learned to be happy all the time. I've learned not to allow anything take my joy. Now, this joy is not baseless. This joy has a focus. What is the focus of this joy? What Christ has done. No wonder the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. Let me tell you what was going on. Jesus was going through the pains of the cross. But because of the joy that was ahead of him, he didn't mind the cross. He told himself, you know what? I'll go through this. 2,000 years ago, he saw me and you. You and I were the joy ahead of him. So that's why it says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. So now our own joy, Jesus' joy was looking ahead. Our own joy, we're looking behind to look at what gives us joy. And we look ahead and we say, I am happy. So he says, looking unto Jesus. Ah, no. If I enter here, I won't come out of it. That's a trap. That's a big trap. You see, we can rejoice too when we run into what? Problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop what? Endurance. Walk in love. Pastor preached. So how can you walk in love if there are no annoying people around you? Sometimes the answer to your prayer is by the people God brings to you. Because it's a test to build your endurance. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You hear it, you go back. On Monday morning, somebody in the office, it's as if they sent the person to mess you up or to annoy you. Or you look at the stock market and you're not happy with something. Or you are just not feeling somebody in your family. You remember what Pastor said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you also remember that the basis for our joy is what Christ has done. It keeps going back there. So we can rejoice too when we run into problems. Next verse, let's keep going. And endurance develops strength of character. And character what? Strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Next verse. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has what? Given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Hallelujah. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came. Let's read it together. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Next verse. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though some might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. Please look at your neighbor and say, can you die for me? Give your neighbor an answer. Give your neighbor an answer. Give your neighbor an answer. Ask them, can you die for me? Can you die for me? If you are sitting with your wife, I did not send you so that there's no quarrel. Please, I didn't plan to instigate any problem. Do you remember that movie I told you guys about? Ogogo? You remember Ogogo? If you are born from anything 2003 up, you will not understand Ogogo. Ogogo is a Yoruba movie that was released long time ago. And in that Yoruba movie, there was a guy called Ogogo who had a girlfriend. I don't know if his wife, but girlfriend. Somebody came to collect money Ogogo was owing. And Ogogo didn't have the money. So the person brought out a gun to shoot Ogogo. And when the guy shot Ogogo, the girlfriend ran to where Ogogo was and collected the bullet. And then when the bullet hit her chest, she now said, Ogogo, I die for you. That's where it's coming from. But you know what baffled me in that movie? What baffled me is that when the guy is shot, the girl ran, caught up with the bullet. That's Nigerian film for you. She caught up with the bullet is not fast enough. That's a good message. A bullet is not as fast as a woman's love. Bonege Baya. If woman love you, if you know, you know. If you know, you know. If a woman love you, you are finished with that love. But guess what? God's love is bigger. Yeah. God's love is bigger. See the song we just sang now. You know why I kept making you guys sing the song? The song says, the reckless love of God. It says, no shadow. Not the song we are just singing now. So why do I have to sing it to remember it? Oh, the overwhelming love, reckless love of God, never ending. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves 99 and comes after me. How many times has God done that for us? Then he now says, no shadow won't he light up. Mountains won't he climb to come after me. No walls won't he tear down. Lies won't he kick down. Coming after me. The love of God is reckless. Please, the love of God is not romantic. So when I'm preaching God's love, stop thinking it's mushy, mushy. Stop, don't reason it like that. When you say God's love, think about somebody on the cross. Are you with me? So, back to our scripture before we lost inside that place. Back to our scripture. But God showed his great love for us, sending what? Let's read it. I want us to read. Want to go? But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. While we were yet, did you do anything good before he died? He died for us before we even knew we needed forgiveness. Oh boy, this love is strong. Next verse. And I will tell you why he did it. Because there is nobody, not from Adam after the fall, to Abraham, to Moses, to David, even David failed. There is nobody who could have done it right to be accepted by God. No single person. So let's keep going. And since we have been, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son. Is it because of what you did? No, but by the death of his son. While we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. Next verse. This is interesting. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ, has made us friends of God. Next verse. When Adam sinned, now the story is getting deep, so listen carefully. When Adam what? Sinned. Sin entered the world. Let's read. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone's. Wait, oh, stay here. Who sinned? What did the sin do? It brought something. It brought death. And what did the death do? It spread everywhere. Now, look at what it says. For everyone sinned. But the Bible was just showing here now that Adam sinned. Then it now says everyone sinned. Let's keep going. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. But it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. So, Adam sins, it is sin, but it is not counted as sin because there's no law. But it is sin. But it is not counted, mark my words, counted as sin. But in that sin came death along with it. Now, Minister Gibb, please come. Please stand here. Man of God, come. Stand here. You look like Abraham. Oh, I don't know if Abraham has this kind of hair, but you know what he said? He said, yeah, he had it. Martin's come. You're not wearing shoe. I felt it. Kingsley, please come. The way you stood up, I knew you something was not right. Kingsley, please come. So Kingsley, stand here. Kingsley, stand here. Now, face the crowd, man of God. So this was Adam. Somebody say Adam. Where's Eve? Hi, Eve. Eve, come and stay with your husband. This is her real husband, though. Please, this is her real husband. So, Adam, Eve. This is, let's say, Moses. I would have loved to say Abraham, but for the sake of time, let's say Moses. Then this is Jesus. That nod is like, Pastor, please don't change it. I'll leave you as Jesus, no problem. So, Oga Adam. Then this is Moses, then that is Jesus. So Adam sinned, but you know who did God give the law? Moses. So before the law came, this man had already sinned. It was sin that brought death, but it was not counted as sin because there was no law. Are you following the story now? Let's go. Bible study. Let's go. Yes, people sin even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was no law to break. Next verse. Still, everyone died from the time of who? Adam to the time of who? Moses. Even those who did not disobey an explicit command of God as Adam did. I'm trying to tell you that nobody is perfect. Nobody can escape Adam's sin, even though you did not commit Adam's sin.
Yes, sir.
As long as you are born from Adam,
yes, sir.
That's these two people, now them bonus. As long as Adam and Eve, you know, the progenitors of Adam and Eve, we cannot escape what comes out from them.
Yes, sir.
Why did you think when Adam and Eve fell, God told Adam, leave the garden, and he puts cherubim to protect the garden? But in the real sense, you and I thought God was protecting the garden. No. God was actually protecting the people he drove away. I will show you why. Because in the garden was the tree of life. Then there was also other trees, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then there was the tree of life. Then there were other trees. God told them, eat anyone. But they went to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Their eyes were open. They fell in status because he was made in the likeness of God. But he fell. He became less than God in terms of class. Because Adam was in the God class. Adam became completely human. Before the fall, Adam was not human only. Adam was a human God. Jesus came to show us a prototype of what Adam was. So before the fall, that's how, I mean, for God to say, name everything in the Garden of Eden, now beans. When, if Adam is naming aquatic animals, how is he going to do it? He must be aquatic. He must be able to go into the seas and name fishes. Different breeds. Then when he says name the birds, Adam must be able to understand what it means to be aerial. He must have been walking on the skies to name the birds. Adam follow. Adam fall. Do you know what it means to name the garden? First of all, when you calculate the square meter, because if you want to move from one place to another, Jesus again shows us a prototype of how Adam was moving. Maybe he could pass through walls. Maybe he could pass through trees. There was nothing like seed time and harvest. There was nothing like Hamatan before the fall. There was nothing like that. There was nothing like seed time and harvest time shall not cease. No. The moment a crop is coming from the ground, it is bringing fruit with it. Because every time is harvest time in the day of Adam. So when Adam fell, everything fell with Adam. Problem. So it's not only Adam that fell. The earth fell. The trees fell. The animals fell. No wonder the Bible says that the creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. So goats, lions, that's not the way they really were. No. So Adam really fell, though. It's we who don't know. Because what you don't know, you can't miss. It's only what you know, that's what you miss. Huh? You miss yesterday's meeting. You are not there. You won't feel anything. But those who were there know what you miss. Do you get what I'm saying? So Adam fell. Then he became ordinary. But you know the promise. You know the promise. The promise is that when he comes, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. So the promise is that when Jesus comes, everybody who has faith in Christ will be restored back. Because heaven, we are going, it's a short time. We are coming back here. I hope you know the story. Okay, you know, after the rapture, we all go to heaven. Then after Armageddon, after the exit, we come back to earth for 1,000 years. That's where the true kings will begin to reign. So look at it. It says, still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. Even those who did not disobey an explicit command of God, as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol. Are you with me now? Adam is a what? Symbol. A representation of Christ who was yet to come. I will tell you why. Because Adam, who sinned, and everybody who was born after Adam, is brought under the kind of sin or the sin that Adam committed. Yes, sir. How do I put it? Holy Ghost, help me. Everybody has inherited Adam's problem. Yeah. I hope you get the idea. Uh-huh. So he's saying that Adam is a symbol of Christ. We are going somewhere. Let's keep going. Now, but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought what? Death to many, but even greater. Read with me. Even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many. Through who? Let's keep going, though. Hey. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to what? Shout it loud. But God's free gift leads to what? If you don't rejoice, I will suspect you. But look at it. He says, but God's free gift leads to what? Our being made right with God, even though we are guilty. Watch the contrast. Adam sinned. Who is guilty? No. Who is guilty? Adam. Who sinned? Adam. I wanted to say, I am born from him. No, I'm the pastor. Told me I will use you today. Tommy now is the first son. He looks like it. So this is Cain. Then the rest from Tommy, all of them, Seth, Methuselah, Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was not. That he was not does not mean he went to heaven. God took him, doesn't mean God took him to heaven. Because it was clear that no man has come to heaven before Jesus came. Go and read your Bible. Where God took him to was a place called Abraham's bosom. So Jesus later comes to rescue everybody after Adam who came before him. So tell me now, and every human being, who is guilty? Adam. Who inherited Adam's problem? All of us. Even though we are guilty of many sins. Now look at this. This man is not guilty, but he inherited somebody else's guilt. He's not guilty. He didn't commit the sin. But, I mean, how do you explain it? Children are born. What do they do to become sin? They are sin just because they are born. They are sinners because they are just born. Yes, sir. That's the story for another day, because there's another scripture that explains a different thought, why babies who die would likely go to heaven. That's a different conversation. But however, just know that anyone who has not accepted Christ, na hellfire. Hellfire. So everybody under Adam, you are not guilty, but you have inherited. Let's go to Christ. Look at that verse. Go back to that verse. I was trying to show something there. Verse 16. Back to verse 16. Now, it says, being made right with God, even though we are. So, Christ has done something and has brought forgiveness and grace. But he now says that those who are after Christ, we may be guilty of many sins, but we have inherited his righteousness. So why they said Adam was a symbol is because everybody after Adam must inherit what Adam gives. So anybody who is after Christ must inherit what Christ gives. That's why Adam is a symbol. That's number one. And number two, just because all of them inherited, the Bible now makes us understand that those who are after Christ inherit, not just inherit, they inherit much more. This matter is deep. Verse 17. Let's keep going. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused what? Let's read it. One to go. The sin of this one man caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who received it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? So it is telling you, and I put a post. Go and listen to what I posted last. I said that the work of grace has delivered you from the consequence of sin, number one, and it has delivered you from the power of sin, number two. Two things. Consequence is the punishment. People don't know why Jesus came to die. You just thought they kill him. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. They didn't just kill him. In fact, he said it by himself. No man can kill me. I'm the one who lays down what? My life. When they came with bragging shoulders and voices, Where is he? When he rose up to say, I am he, all of them fell down. Go and read your Bible. Do you remember? They all fell. So he allowed them to stand up. Are you fine now? Oh yeah, take me. Level. Take me. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup what? Pass over me. You know why he prayed that prayer? He prayed because he was human like us. But after he got to a point, he said, nevertheless. So don't feel bad when you struggle. But always learn to lean on your spirituality, not your carnality. So even if you put God in the flesh, God will struggle. That's what happened to Jesus. So eventually Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And I feel that prayer really helped him, because if he did not pray, hi. See, the problem was not the piercing on his hands or the piercing on the side. That's not the real problem. Jesus is not the first to die. There are other people who have been hung on cross. They were criminals. The Romans had designed a method where criminals are put on a wooden stick and crucified. So it's not the first. There was a guy called Barabbas. You remember Barabbas? Two thieves were with him. He didn't die alone. So it's not a new thing. But what made Jesus' own different? It was the fact that the sin of the world was put on him. So when the Bible says he pleased the Father to bruise him, it means that it wasn't just the soldiers beating him, but it was the Father bruising him by putting you and me, our judgment, on Jesus. So the judgment is on Christ. If he dies because he became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. So if Jesus became sin when he died and rose up a new man, the man who rose is not the man who died. So it means Jesus is resurrected anew and sin has been dealt with. So our punishment is what this man took. So when we say, you tell an unbeliever, Jesus died for you. Now you know the meaning, right? The meaning of Jesus died for you is the flogging, the punishment. They're supposed to punish you because of our sin that we inherited from Adam. Because many of you think sin is only fornication, adultery. That's your self-righteousness is what is talking. If in your mind you think sin is only committing lie, I mean telling lies, fornication, adultery, false witness, pedophile. Yes. You don't know the Bible. Because God's problem was not the action first. God's problem was the nature. I'm telling you that people are born and they are called sinners. What did they do to be called sinners? Just because Adam gave birth to them. It's not fair. But God is just. You see what I'm saying? So, God says, I will put my punishment on this man. So that is what it means when we say Jesus died for you. But he didn't just deliver us from the punishment. He also delivered us from the power of sin. So sin does not have control of the believer. Why? Because this man who died, are you with me, somebody? Jesus who died, the Bible now explains to you and I that all of us died with him. So this nature from Adam that went all the way to Jesus, died with Jesus. So we died with him. We were buried with him. We were resurrected with him. When the old man died, it means the nature of sin that was produced by Adam died. So the factory is dead. If you see the bread in town, just give it some time. You missed it. We blew up the factory. But if the bread is still in Jabi Mall, give it 2 weeks. Because the manager of ShopRite will refuse to sell a spoiled bread. The only reason why you see bread next year in ShopRite, Jabi Mall, is because the bakery is still working. So we are telling you that the bakery died in Christ. That bakery is produced by the old man Adam. So when he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul now said, God forbid. God forbid means it's not olomaje. No. God forbid is not you forbidding. God forbid does not mean I won't let that happen. Why will I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, not under my watch. Keep quiet, it's not about you. God forbid means Jesus has forbidden. How did God forbid? Romans chapter 6. How did Jesus forbid? He forbade when he killed the bakery. NLT, verse 2. Romans 6, NLT verse 2. NLT verse. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Let me explain. Since the bakery is dead, how can we produce bread? So how can you see sin action when the bakery is blown up? Verse 3, look at it. Look at verse 3. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with who? In baptism. What is the baptism there? Not water baptism, oh. You know, there are different kinds of baptism. Baptism means to immerse. So here they are saying that you are immersed in his death. We joined him in his death. That's the meaning of the baptism there. Next verse, verse 4. For we died and were buried with Christ by what? Baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live what? New lives. So the work of grace is to ensure that you don't continue in sin. Come on, say amen, somebody. Sin shall not have dominion over you because you are what? Not under, but under what? That's verse 14 of this. I don't have time. But flip to verse 14 quickly. That's the explanation of sin shall not come. Sin is no longer your master because bakery is gone. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. So anybody who preaches the law to you is telling you to do it by your performance. Jesus. And he's telling you to bypass what Christ has done, which is harder. Talk to me. They say you should do righteousness by yourself, or you should lean on the one he has done by dying for you. You dying with him. The old man is dead with him. Which is better? You're not a renovation. You are a new creation. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's the meaning of that scripture. All things have what? Passed away, and all things have become new. So when we're preaching the grace of God, the gospel of grace, people are hearing sin. It's okay to commit sin because Jesus has forgiven all your sins. No, they don't see that actually that forgiveness of sin means that the power of sin has been dealt with. Go back to verse 6. Go back to verse 6, this same scripture. I'm going to wrap up with this. Are you learning something now? We know that our old sinful selves were what? Crucified. Read with me. Crucified with Christ so that sin might what? Lose its power. See Bible. We are no longer what? Slaves. Anybody who does not believe in what Christ has done must be a slave to sin. It's just that we're not catching you. You are a good hider. You don't let your own show. You know when people point fingers? Have you seen a judgmental person before? People who are judgmental. Now them, they do pass. So don't be a judgmental person. Next verse. That was somebody's message. Selah. Receive it with meekness and grace. Don't be judgmental. Don't be judgmental. Thank God. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from what? The power of sin. Next verse. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also what? Live with him. I told you this man took our condemnation, our burden, our judgment. But when he rose up a new man. That's the same way when we died with him, we also rose up a new man. Next verse. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. And he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Come on, amen.
Amen.
When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. Different purpose. You know, Jesus lives, he lived twice. The first life he lived was to die. It was a life for death. Then the second life is a life for glory. Two different lives. So that's why you can't use the Jesus that was on earth to judge your standing. It's the Jesus that, it says, herein is our love made perfect. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. For as he is, so are we. Not as he was. As he is now. So are we. So right now, you are how he is now. Oh, I just want to be like Jesus. I want to be in the days where Jesus was on earth. Calm down. Those days are not better than now. Because the Bible says all of those guys, none of them were completed or perfected before the cross. I'm closing. You have left my scripture. I think we're on Romans 6, what? When he died, read with me. When he died once to break the power of sin, but he lives for the glory of God. Next verse. So you should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Now you understand this. Since the nature is gone, there is nobody telling you, you must do it, you must do it. That nature is dead. It's only your mind that is telling you, not the nature now. Because now you are a new creation. So the lure to sin is not coming from a nature, it's not a nature problem, it's a mind problem. Have you bought a new phone before? And you had an old password. You put a new password in your new phone. Have you tried to put a password and you put the old password before? And you remember, oh, this is my new phone. And then you put a new password. That's what is happening here. So a believer who is committing sin, it's not because he has the nature of sin. No. It's because his mind needs to be renewed. You get it? Now, he says, so use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Next verse. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know what I'm going to do? We have to close now. We'll continue next Sunday. Is that okay? But here is what I want you to know. Because of, let's celebrate Apostle Kanye in the building. Ah, yeah, yeah. Man of God. Good to see you. Let me tell you what God has done for you. Stay with me. Say, because of Christ. Because of his death. I can hear you. Because of his burial. Because of his resurrection. I am free from the consequence of sin. I am free from the power of sin. Because of his death, I have all things in Christ. So how much more shall he not with him? Come on. freely give us all things in Christ. Lift your hands, say, I have all things in Christ. Give your neighbor a high five and say, I have all things in Christ. Rise on your feet, everybody. Stand on your feet, everybody. Oh, hallelujah. Just open your mouth and thank God for the free gift of salvation, the free gift of righteousness you have in Christ. Lift your voices and bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I want you to stretch your two hands wide open and just say, thank you, Father, for the work of your Son on the cross of Calvary for me. So when you look at the sinner, you know that his sins are forgiven. You understand it now. Thank the Lord because your sins are forgiven. Thank him because you are freed from condemnation. You are free from trial. You are free from rejection. Give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise, somebody. Now thank God because you have all things in Christ. You have all things in Christ. You are complete in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. You've been made one in Christ. You've been made new in Christ. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Give the Lord praise. Your salvation is not a work of your performance, but it's the free gift of salvation. He saved you out of his benevolent grace, out of his own mercy. He chose you for salvation. Who is grateful because of what Christ has done? And it is all that you couldn't do by yourself. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, this is the reason why we are confident over sickness. When we speak to sickness, it hears us. You know why? Because not by our performance, not by your fasting, not by all that is good, but because of what Christ has done. When he died on that cross, he broke the backbone of sickness. The Bible says that he took on him his sorrows. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our iniquities. Bruised for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Not because of what you do, but they beat him. You know, how many times did they beat Jesus? 39. Do you know that medically speaking, there are about 39 categories of sickness in the whole world. So it's like each stripe was attending to one. That's what it looked like. Some things are not just mistakes. It's such a wonder. It says, by his stripes you are healed. Jesus didn't die for nothing. Oh, what is the lamb that was slain? We've received power. We've received riches. By him, he says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And he says, he made him who was poor, because he was poor, that we might become rich from his poverty. So in 2024, hiya, you will calm down. You will walk in the goodness of God, because a price was paid for it. Somebody say, yes, that's me. A price was paid for your redemption. A price was paid for your money. A price was paid for your favor. A price was paid for the goodness and mercies of God. A price was paid for your protection. Look at your neighbor saying, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Tell that neighbor, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Now stay after me, I will live and not die. I will manifest the glory of God. Tell your neighbor, I walk in victory. You walk in victory. I walk in power. You walk in power. Favor is on your side. Goodness is on your side. Mercy is on your side.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.